I titled the today's message a gospel conversation. The reason that I titled it a gospel conversation is because you go around on your daily routine, and it's not uncommon to hear people always talking about what they've heard in the news, discussing things like the weather. That's a real big conversation piece, and it's boring, but we're always talking about the weather and small talk, things like that. I hope just as prevalent as you hear discussions about the news, that you hear New Song Fellowship and its members striking up conversations with people about the good news, about the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here lately, I've been facing a lot of troubles. It seems like things have continually gone from bad to worse. And in the process of going through it, and some of the pressures of the situations, I'm talking about things like problems like, you know, feeling like a real threat of losing everything that you've worked the past 8 years for, including your house, and having very sobering conversations with your wife about it. And it's through that, through those struggles, that there was one night just recently where I was laying in bed because of these things, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm wide awake and I'm staring at the wall. And as I'm looking at the wall, I got all these thoughts going through my head, and I'm thinking like, there's just nothing good can come from this. And I'm thinking about all the people that I know who are hurting and pain and are struggling and anguish and all of these bad negative things that I'd heard about, that I know of, that are happening in my life. And I'm thinking, there's just no good coming from this. There's just no good. And I actually started to wish that the sun wouldn't come up. I was thinking, man, I hope the sun doesn't come up today. I don't want to see the sun. I don't want to hear birds singing happy little songs. And I don't want to have to get up and face today. I just don't want to. But then my son, my newborn son, Valor, was sleeping in between me and Samantha that night. And I heard him stirring. So I turned and looked at him. And he's wide awake. He's nocturnal, so he's wide awake too. And he's looking right back at me. His eyes are as big as they can get. And his hands, because if you know, newborns can't control their hands yet. So his hands are attacking his face. And he's looking at me desperately like, help. And so I'm grabbing his hands and pulling them down. And I'm thinking, I know how you feel, buddy. I feel pretty helpless too. But I started to laugh. It lightened the mood. It lightened my heart. And it was right then in that moment when I started to remember how amazing God is, how faithful he is. My story is nothing compared to Horatio's story. But still, those problems are just as real to me, just like your problems are just as real to you. And in that moment, I realized God has been incredibly faithful to me. I'm looking at this little boy. He's so beautiful, so amazing, and he's a miracle. So I know God is faithful. He's been good. Now, the reason that I share that story is because I know God is faithful and good. I was encouraged to wake up the next day, face it bold as a lion, knowing that Jesus has overcome. And there's nothing that I can lose in my life as precious as my faith in God and God's faithfulness to me. I cannot lose anything because everything that I need is eternal because of Jesus Christ. Now, why did I know that? I knew that because I had faith in God. But why do I have faith in God? Because I believe in Jesus Christ. But why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Because somebody came to me with the gospel so that I could believe in Jesus Christ. So that's why I hope that as every opportunity that you get in your life, that you've heard this good news and believed it, that you're also sharing with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who in the church should be sharing the gospel? Should it be the leaders of the church? Should it be the pastor of the church? Yes. But it also should be every single believer sitting here today who has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed. Now, if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus and you're thinking you picked the wrong Sunday to come and hear a message you didn't, please listen through to the end. You're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as we go through the basics. By the end of this message, you'll be able to make a decision on what you believe about the gospel. Jesus says to his followers, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now that's a message to you and to me, if we follow Christ, to go and to preach. Acts 8:1-11, great persecution scatters the church. The apostles stay behind, so the leaders of the church stay behind, but all the lay people, everywhere that they went, were preaching the word of God. So everyone is capable on some level of sharing the gospel. Now I want to share a quick, easy 5-word outline to make it a little easier to share the gospel, to help connect the different points of the gospel. And the five words are connect, God, man, Christ, and response. Connect, God, man, Christ, response. Now, the outline is not intended to be something that you can hear and repeat. No. Instead, I would prefer, and it would be better if you were fluent in the gospel, able to have a conversation with somebody and adapt to who you're talking to without compromising the power and the truth of the gospel message. So in order to do that, though, the first thing that you must do, I believe, is to master the message. We have to master the message of the gospel. I had an MMA instructor, mixed martial arts, that about 8 years ago or so, when I started to learn martial arts, he said, he was a stickler for the basics. And he said, you have to learn the basics before you'll ever get great. Every athlete, including Michael Jordan, was a stickler for the basics. All of the greatest athletes in the world got to that point because of their determination and their ability to be disciplined in the basics. And my MMA instructor, who's also a good friend of mine, said, you need to go through the basics until they become a part of you, till it's instinct, till it's just like reflex. Without even thinking, it just is a response. And I think that's a great way to look at the gospel, that we should go through the basics to the point where it's a part of who we are, where I can communicate the gospel on any level, at any time, every opportunity that I get, just as sure as I can breathe and my heart beats. So once you've mastered the message, it's important to make connections. The first word of the five-word outline is connect. It's important to make connections with people. You see, God has chosen to share the gospel through people. So the gospel is dispensed from person to person. And the best way that that's done is through relationships, through trust. And that way that someone respects you and is willing to listen to the gospel. But in order to do that, you have to establish a connection. John chapter 1 in the Gospels, 1 through 4, there's several different ways that we see people connecting with each other. Andrew goes and gets Simon Peter. So you see brother to brother. You see a friend grabbing a friend. John 1 through 4, you see Nicodemus coming to Jesus and seeking him out. It's not uncommon for somebody in your life that recognizes the fruits of your faith, if you're outspoken by the things that you do, by the way that you live, that they see Christ in you. And because they see Christ in you, they know that you're a Christian, that they come to you and ask you, people maybe that you work with or friends that don't believe it, they always have questions. Everybody has an opinion about Christ. So people always will come with questions. And that's a great way, that's a wonderful connection to begin sharing the gospel with somebody. The woman at the well heard about Christ and she ran back to her community and spread the gospel to her community. So your neighbors, you already have connection, they're your neighbors. You can strike up conversations with them and sharing the gospel. It's important to do that. There's so many different ways to connect, but I would recommend that if you're going to, if you want to connect and you want more opportunity to share the gospel, three things, and that's pray, try, and be wise. Pray. Colossians 4:3. Meanwhile, praying also for us, Paul writes, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. See, Paul, even Paul, didn't always know when and where to share the gospel. So he goes to God. And it's important that we don't leave God out when it comes to sharing the gospel. He's running the show and he's in charge. So it's important to converse with God and then God will open up opportunities. Now, people on missions often go on short-term missions, and when you talk to them when they return, they're fired up and inspired because of how many opportunities they had to share the gospel. And something that I found in common is if you ask them what they did, they said, well, we woke up every morning and we prayed for opportunity. And then we went out, we found opportunities, and we shared the gospel. But then they come back to the United States, back to their routine, settle back into their careers, get back into their train of thought of how things are always done, and they stop being missional-minded. They're not waking up and praying anymore for those opportunities. What I hope is that we are inspired to wake up every morning and look at anywhere that God has us in our life, whether it's our careers or whether you're in school or whether you're just going out on a Saturday with your family, that anyone that you encounter is an opportunity to share this great news with. The next thing I would recommend, which is one of the three, which is try. There's so many different ways. So try, try, try. You never know where you're gifted at until you try. Maybe there's going to be areas where you try and you fail. That's okay. But try and find out where you're most gifted with connecting with people in order to share the gospel. A few examples would be like VBS. VBS is a wonderful way. Not only are we building up the youth and giving them a great foundation in Christ. But the youth, their hearts are so pure, they just open up their mouths and they just tell people. They're not afraid to speak what they're believing in. So often even their parents hear the gospel that don't believe through their own children. I read an anonymous testimony about a woman who dropped off her daughter at a VBS type event, picked her up later on. From the back seat, the daughter says, "Mom, I wish you were a Christian." And she was shocked. And she's like, "I am a Christian. I believe in God. And even though she admitted later that she was more career oriented and self-absorbed with her own family, she had really no love for God or her fellow man. But then her daughter says, "Yeah, but Mom, I wish you were a real Christian." So that hit her pretty hard and led her down a string of events to go back to church and find out what is a real Christian, at which point she heard the gospel and she said was the great awakening. That's when she finally found out what it means to be alive in Christ. There's outreaches to people in need. If you meet people in their need, that's a wonderful way to connect and show that you care. My brother Thomas, years ago, was terminally ill, and a group of believers, when they heard about it, they came together to come and pray for my brother. And they established a relationship in doing that, showing how much they cared and their concern with me and my whole entire family, who were not living according to Christ, weren't Christians. I didn't consider myself a Christian at that point. They had a benefit concert later, invited us to their church, and through the relationships that we built with them, I heard the gospel. It saved my life. I came into being a Christian because of that, as a result. Praying for the sick. There's some of you in here that have the faith that it takes to lay hands on people and through the power of the Holy Spirit, see somebody be healed. And what a great way to connect and show somebody that you care, to set them free from a sickness and a disease, and then be able to share the gospel, the great news of Jesus Christ. I know people that open air preach, and after open air preaching, sometimes someone wants to come and talk about it further. Gospel tracks, former pastor Don, his wife Jamie, was raised Orthodox Jew. They lived down in New Orleans. She was walking around in Mardi Gras. Somebody came up, handed her a gospel tract. She goes home that night, sits down and reads it, and gives her life to Christ. You just never know where somebody's at. Like, you can pass out gospel tracts any time of the day, anywhere that you go, because you never know where they've already been at, what seeds have already been planted, and what they've been thinking about right at that point when you hand them that gospel tract, and they're like, "This is the message I've been waiting to hear. I just asked God to give me a sign yesterday." You just never know. Some people like to go to jails and prisons and connect with people there. We have members of this church that do that. You got plenty of families and friends. And don't forget about your professions. You can use what you do professionally to help people. And I mean help them without actually charging, actually helping people and showing them that you care. When they ask you, "Why are you doing this? Why are you sacrificing your personal time to help me?" That's a great time to tell them the good news of the gospel and why you're doing that. Thirdly, be wise. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Don't preach at one person like there's 3,000 people standing in front of you. And a good way to know how to talk to people is actually to be a good listener. Christians should be some of the best listeners in the world, bar none. So a good way to know how to talk. Proverbs 18:13 says that he who answers before he listens, that's his folly and his shame. Really, it's because if you're just running your mouth and not talking, then pretty much you're just saying a bunch of foolish things and people think you're a fool and out of touch. So I would recommend to talk less and say more. And take time to really get to know people and hear them. It's not a numbers game. Going out and preaching the gospel is not about how many people you can hammer through with the gospel. It's about taking time to actually build relationships, because we know that this is the good news that actually transforms people's hearts and brings them into life, into salvation. So don't get discouraged if you go a whole week without an opportunity. It's not really up to you to save the world. That's Christ that's doing that. So really all you have to do is just wait for the opportunities and then be willing to strike when they come and try not to miss the opportunities. And if you miss an opportunity, don't beat yourself up over it. Wait for the next one. All right, so now that we've established the connection, we've gone through the different ways and we've established a connection with somebody, it brings us to our point. We need to start talking about the gospel. We're going to converse the gospel. So we introduce them to God. Who is he? We introduce him to God. Who is he? We see in Genesis 1, God is the creator of everything. The cosmos, the sun, the moon, the oceans, the deserts, the whole entire world, all the creatures in it, made by God. So he's creator. In fact, in Romans 1:18-32, it gives a great description of how it's through creation that every living being on the earth knows that God's there, because he is testifying of his greatness and his eternal power through creation. And no one has an excuse to say that I didn't know there was a God, because it's plain to see that there's God just by looking at his creation. You wouldn't happen upon Mount Rushmore 1,000 years from now and just assumed that the rain and the wind carved out faces on the edge of the mountain. You would know that somebody created Mount Rushmore, that somebody chiseled that out. So God has made it plain through his creation that he exists. that he's there. But God is also good. He's holy. He's true. He's perfect in every way. All of his attributes. He's perfect love. He's perfect righteousness. He's perfect justice. And if you have perfect justice, there has to be somebody who makes perfect judgments to see that perfect justice is carried out. So God is also a judge. And he's a good judge. And his judgment is usually reflected in a negative way. It's not. It's for us. God's judgment is for us. Because he's making sure that wicked and evil deeds are punished so that there's not chaos, so that people just aren't murdering each other without consequence. There are consequences to people's actions and their deeds, and that's a good thing. We want God judging, except for when he's judging us. Because God is good, he judges all sin. He judges all wickedness. That also includes the sins that we've committed. So that brings us to our next point, which is man. Two things to impress upon people about man. And that's one is how we were made, and two, who we are. In Genesis 1 through 3, we see that we were made by God, the only creature on the whole entire earth made in his image that he breathed the breath of life into and raised up in tremendous dignity. You have tremendous dignity. You are amazing. Because God made you in his image, you can think after him, create after him. You are able to do things that God has given you ability to do and gifts that glorify him and who we are. Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet." So who are we? We are God's beloved, crowned with glory and honor, rulers over all of his creation. And knowing that makes sin even worse, because really what we've done is Adam and Eve exchanged the truth for a lie. It's kind of like if there was a king and the king had children and they were convinced that living in a prison cell was better than living in a prison cell was better than living in a palace. And then once they were in the prison cell, it was too late to go back. The curse is dropped because all man was cursed by Adam and Eve's choice. The curse is on them. It's too late to go back. And generations go by and sin becomes the walls that hold us in. And the death is the gatekeeper. The only way out of this prison cell is by death. And generations go by and children are born in prison. And it soon becomes normal thought pattern to think it's okay to live in prison. We forgot where we came from and we don't realize we're royalty anymore. So man has forgotten. And sin has fallen and a curse of death is on man. And now the judge has to judge each and every one of us according to that sin. And if somebody's unsure if they've sinned or not, the Ten Commandments are a great way to walk them through to show them that we are all guilty before a holy and righteous God. Which brings us to, we need a savior. This is a situation where there's really no way out. There's no one can be good enough. You can't earn it. The grace is just, forgiveness at this point is something that we're not able going to be able to work for. So that's what brings us to Christ. And there's two things to impress upon people about Christ. And that's who he is and what he did. Both of those are found in Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So who he is, he's God in the flesh, but he's ruler of the earth and the cosmos. He maintains order over everything. It's all in its perfect place, testifying on behalf of him. And what he did, he's the king whose people betrayed him. And he shows up at the prison, walks out of his palace, takes off his royal robe, and puts on a prison uniform to be with his people where they're at. And then because he was guilty of no crime worthy of being in the prison, he was totally innocent, but he decides that he's going out through death, the only way out of this prison, and he's taking it. And he's going to pay the ransom that's holding us bondage in this cell. And then he's going to raise back from the dead. And he's going to guarantee that anybody who believes in me, anyone who trusts in me, then that payment that I made applies to you. And you are free to get out of that prison cell. You are free to not sin anymore. You are free to live in God's righteous order. You are free to be redeemed just like we were when God first created man and we were in the Garden of Eden with pure hearts. made with the purpose of living in God's righteous order. But that only applies to people who believe. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So you have to believe for the payment to be applied. That's why it brings us to our next word, which is respond. Call people to repent and believe. It's an important part of the gospel that's often overlooked. It's uncomfortable, I know. But calling people to repent and believe, it's what Jesus did. We see in Mark 1:15, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In other words, he's saying, look, my kingdom is here because your kingdom has problems. So your way of living isn't working out. It's not going to work out. You're destined for failure, and I'm offering you a different way. So by repent, what we're saying is, it's not begging God for forgiveness. It's walking away from the way we've been doing things to follow a much better path, to follow Jesus Christ, to do things the way that we were originally made, the glory and the honor we were made for. Not only that, but it's a command. You see in Acts 17:30 that God commands all people everywhere to repent. It's a command for people to repent. And if we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ as the church, we're not going to be very good ambassadors if we don't tell the world what our King has asked us to say verbatim. Because if he's commanded for people to repent, but we leave that part out because it makes us uncomfortable, that's the gospel that gets people killed in a world that is loving darkness and doesn't want the light. But if we're going to be good ambassadors, we need to tell the whole story. If we're going to be good news reporters, we need to tell the whole story, not just pick and choose. It's not a la carte. Up to us to be creative writers with. And so I hope that today that really what you take away from this message is that everybody, if you think that, well, that's not really for me to go out and tell the gospel, it's not really for me to share it, that I hope that what you take away is that, yes, it is. There's so many different ways to connect with people. We have so many things in common. And really, we shouldn't be isolating ourselves in a Christian bubble. We shouldn't be pushing out the world. We should be out in the world, all up in its business, sharing the gospel, and desperately wanting to come back with the keys of that prison cell we got out of to let our fellow man out of that same prison cell. It would be cruel not to. So I hope that we look at it in terms of there are so many ways of connecting with people. And if we master the message, and we're able to just talk like we do about anything else and share the gospel with people, that's how you change the world. That's how you rock the world. That's how the world's turned upside down. And I'm not saying that we're going to transform the world into some beautiful place where it's only peace. I'm not talking about the external world. I'm talking about that God's kingdom can be set in order one heart at a time. And that peace is just a result or a symptom that comes from people making choices to benefit each other because of the love of God that's in them, showing the world how much God loves them. And so please, every opportunity that you have, do what you can to share the gospel. Knowing that that's a realistic part of building the kingdom of God here, one heart at a time. I want to leave you with this, is 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Wow. Because when you're in a world that is so full and so inundated with so much news that we think is so important and affecting us in current events, it sounds like foolishness if you say the way to change that is to set people right internally and get their hearts right. And how do you do that? Well, you do it through the gospel. That sounds like nonsense. But it's true. And it's possible. If we will be ambassadors, if we will speak and not be quiet when the opportunity presents itself. And if you don't believe, and you heard this message today, there are men here who are willing to talk with you further about the gospel. I hope that you make a decision about what you believe about the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll never regret it. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. I promise. And any one of us, be it Brent or be it Ron, are willing to stay and talk with you. So if you have questions about the gospel, let's talk about it, please. And thank you guys so much for sharing. I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. God, thank you. I pray that I pray I did okay with the message that you had laid out for me to share. I hope I did an all right job with that. But really what I hope is that people hear you in the message, encouraging us and inspiring us to know that we are able to share the gospel anywhere that we are at any time. And it doesn't have to be a special event. It can be something that we do every day with the people that are around us, and that at some level we are all capable of doing it. So I hope that we're filled with a sense of the passion of Jesus, the compassion for mankind, and wanting to be in the world, fulfilling your word, being a part of seeing your kingdom coming together, knowing that you have come here to set us right, to redeem us, and that we can set the prisoners free one heart at a time, every opportunity that you allow us. I pray that this church would grow as a result, that our love for men would grow, that our compassion and our unity would grow as a result of our love for the gospel and us making it a living part of who we are. Thank you so much, Father. We love you, Jesus Christ. Amen.